Live from the American Gulf Coast, it's the Dave Nemo Show.
Yeah, you know, we've been really looking forward to this. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, when Women in Trucking's second annual Accelerate Conference was happening over in Texas, we kind of did a long-distance coverage, and we had a panel of three ladies who are attorneys on the program. They were doing speaking at the conference. One of those people is Bridgette Blitch. And Bridgette is joining us this morning for the first in an ongoing series. And we're calling it Minding the Road. And you'll understand what we mean by that. Actually, mostly it's minding what goes on the side of the road. But we'll get some really good information now right from the inside. One of the big issues when it comes to drivers and companies, and that is the data queue process. And there's a lot to know. There's a lot to go over. We'll start with kind of a review of what the data queue system is, why and how it got started, and where we are with it now. Bridgette Blitch joins us in just a moment.
Give me 40 acres and I'll turn this rig around. It's the easiest way that I've found. Some guys can turn it on a dime, turn it right downtown. But I need 40 acres to turn this rig around.
Why settle for just a fraction of what you need to save time, fuel, and money? Qualified professional drivers know that PrePass from Help Incorporated is the only comprehensive solution for bypass services and electronic toll pay. PrePass services accept qualified trucks on the move through pre-screening and bypass authorization at weigh stations and tolling facilities across the nation. What can PrePass do for you? Call 888-599-PASS to find out how PrePass can help you save time, fuel, and money. That's 888-599-7277.
The mission of the St. Christopher Fund is to help professional drivers and their families who have financial needs due to medical problems. Assistance may be in the form of direct payment for medical services or prescription drugs, assistance with expenses while recovering, or negotiating price reductions with medical providers and hospitals. If you or someone you know is in need of help due to an illness, or perhaps if you would like to make a donation, go to DaveNemo.com and click on the St. Christopher Fund.
Well, it's time for Minding the Road, and Bridgette Blitch is with us from Taylor & Associates down in Florida. You know, Bridgette, in the next hour, we go north to Canada for our regular feature with the Owner-Operator Business Association of Canada. And I said, well, you know what? We're first going to go to Florida because that's a good direction to go to this time of year.
Nice to start, and good morning, Dave. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us, and boy, you're starting off with a big topic here, because if anything frustrates drivers more, it's stuff that's unresolved, and you get a bad report or you get a ding out on the side of the road on an inspection report, you don't think it's right, you know it's not accurate. And even if you get a warning, you can't really do much about that. It really kind of leaves things unsettled and unfinished, and people can't really afford to have stuff like that on the record. So the data queue system comes into play. I've heard all kinds of numbers here in terms of, well, how successful are you getting data queues? And one safety director will say, man, hardly ever. Some will say, well, you know, we do about 50 or 60%, you know, get resolved. And some just have no luck at all. You have a passion for this industry and the people in it, and so do we. So we kind of, we're really in the same wheelhouse here when it comes to our concern for our listeners out there, Bridgette. And I'm going to turn it over to you here to kind of give us a kind of a primer on what the data queue system is, how it kind of got developed, and maybe just a quick review before we kind of maybe launch into some of the things that you've handled out there.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. And the reason why I started with this topic is because it is such a hot topic in the industry and in my practice on a week-to-week basis, is how do motor carriers and drivers successfully petition a request for data review. And so I wanted to share through this time with you this morning some of my insight and experience in filing requests for data review and working with law enforcement. But let me just give you a little bit of a background to the DataQ system and why we have it and what the FMCSA has set up, just as by way of a background. So this DataQ came into place to meet the statutory mandate for providing basically a correction mechanism for violations reported in what's called the Motor Carrier Management Information System, which you've heard. And the what the safety components are made of are basically these basic categories, which stands for Behavior Analysis and Safety Improvement Categories, your basic scores. So when a violation occurs, it's going to drop into one of these categories, which can include unsafe driving, hours of service compliance, driver fitness, controlled substance alcohol abuse violations, vehicle maintenance, hazardous materials compliance, and then there's also a crash indicator. So what the FMCSA did was they established this web-based dispute resolution procedure, which is called the DataQs, for an individual to challenge data maintained by the FMCSA. So when a challenge is made to a reported safety violation by a driver, the FMCSA forwards it on to the issuing state, and the state officials decide how to respond when a driver challenges the citation's inclusion in the database. So the FMCSA is not authorized to direct a state to change or alter what is in the Motor Carrier Management Information System, and I've come across an anomaly, which I'll share with you in a little bit, but for violations or inspections originating within a particular state. So once the state office makes that determination on the validity of the challenge, the FMCSA is bound by the state reporting as basically the final resolution of the challenge. So in my practice, when I get a motor carrier or a driver that's been issued a violation through a commercial motor vehicle examination report or possibly a citation permit, what I want to do is and have the driver do is look at what is the violation and is there any other citation that's associated with the violation. So in Florida, I often get a citation permit where a monetary penalty is associated. And the reason why this is important, because we're talking about the states making the final determination of the violation, is I want to have an opportunity to go to a different level of review before, whether it's an administrative agency or a traffic court or other judicial body, to get basically a second review of the violation, because it, again, is the state that's making this determination. So in Florida, we have what is called the Florida Motor Carrier Review Board, and it's been set up so that drivers and motor carriers, if they've received a monetary citation, can challenge the citation. And so now each state is going to be different in terms of what they provide, but I give this as an example of things to be aware of when a commercial motor vehicle examination report is issued. So if we take an example where we've got a monetary citation that's been issued in Florida, what I look is, okay, do I have all the documentation? Does our driver have all the documentation? And included with that should be a commercial motor vehicle citation permit that has a summary of protest information. So what can the driver do in order to challenge, in this case, before the Commercial Motor Carrier Review Board, the jurisdiction is actually over the assessment of the monetary penalty? And in Florida, it's a little bit backwards. You actually have to pay the citation before you can have an opportunity to go before the Commercial Motor Carrier Review Board, and that's set out in Florida Administrative Code. So you have 20 days to pay from the receipt of that monetary citation, and once you pay that citation, you then have 60 days from the receipt of the citation to request an opportunity to go before the Motor Carrier Review Board. And I encourage all my drivers and my motor carrier clients to take the opportunity to exercise their protest before the Commercial Motor Vehicle Review Board if we feel that we have a meritorious challenge to the violation that's been assessed. So we'll write a letter to the Commercial Motor Carrier Review Board, and I like to request an in-person hearing so that we have the opportunity to talk face-to-face with the review board concerning the circumstances regarding the challenge or the violation that's been issued. However, in Florida, you do have the opportunity to submit information by written materials and supporting documents. So if the driver can't get to the Motor Carrier Review Board for an in-person hearing, they still have that opportunity available to them where the board will review the documents that's been submitted and any other supporting documentation. So it's a nice feature that's been set up for the motor carriers and drivers here in Florida, and I've been before the Commercial Motor Carrier Review Board, and they carefully listen to the basically the testimony that's provided by the driver or the representative of the motor carrier to determine whether or not the violation was correctly assessed. And if the board does find that the violation was assessed in an error, then we get what's called from the Florida Department of Transportation, a letter indicating their findings and having given careful consideration to the evidence before it as to why they believe a refund was appropriate. Again, this is just for the monetary citation. So they'll give an explanation as to why the refund is appropriate, and then the driver and the motor carrier gets their money back having previously been paid. And with that determination, what I then do is I upload that report or finding from the Florida Department of Transportation into the data queue portal on behalf of the driver or the motor carrier. And the state analyst guide, and this is something that has, I would say, fairly recently developed as of August 23rd, 2014, says that they will consider the dismissal from a state agency or a body of law that will result in basically the removal of the violation. Now, it was interesting, little side note here, I was doing these before August 23rd, 2014, where I had a favorable finding, and we uploaded the dismissal into the data queue system, and the state did not remove the violation. And so I went back to law enforcement, and I showed them, and I said, here's the, let's look at the analyst guide. And this is the analyst guide, which is available online. And it came out as a second edition in December 2014. And I said, the way that I read this is that the state analysts actually have the discretion to remove the violation based on all available information if, in fairness, it dictates removal of the violation from the state and or federal databases. And I'm reading right from the state analyst guide. And there was an anomaly because at that time there had not been the interface, at least I was advised that from the state side, allowing for the removal of the violation. So even though it was stated in the state analyst guide, I kind of encountered something that hadn't at least come up before through my experience, or that seemed to be an anomaly for the law enforcement side as well. But we're now well past the August 23rd, 2014 deadline here, and we've been submitting these dismissals and showing that the violations have been removed where we've been successful. So I bring that up because it's important when you get this information, whether you're a driver or a representative of a motor carrier, to really look through the commercial motor vehicle examination reports and look for any of those time-sensitive deadlines, whether, like it's in the case of Florida, there's a monetary citation associated with it, or if it happens to be associated with a traffic infraction where there's going to be a court appearance required, and then you'd have the opportunity to go before that court in order to challenge the violation that's been issued.
Wow. You need a lawyer, don't you? I mean, really, somebody, in all seriousness, though, can a driver handle this themselves? I mean, this is pretty deep in the weeds, isn't it?
Well, for Florida, a driver does not have to be represented, and a motor carrier doesn't have to be represented by an attorney to go before the Commercial Motor Vehicle Review Board. They can do that, and the instructions are provided in the citation. And a lot of times, motor carriers have a person that's specifically devoted to looking at these citations that come in and helping the motor carrier with that process. I mean, from a best practice perspective, I always recommend having qualified counsel to assist with the violation. But I've certainly seen a number of drivers represent themselves and motor carriers represent themselves before this particular administrative agency.
Gotcha. So if you have the time and the wherewithal to do that, you can do it yourself. But it seems like there's always one more piece to that puzzle that doesn't quite fit it, you know, going on down the line. In other words, it's not it's a multi-step process. And just because the first part of it is complete doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to follow through. So you don't want to take anything for granted.
Exactly. You don't want to just assume that, I'll get to this citation later because DataQs doesn't have a deadline for me to file an RDR. So if you put it in your pocket and you think about it, and all of a sudden, it's been a couple months later, you've passed that opportunity for a court hearing or for administrative agency review, you've lost that opportunity to get a second level review of the violation. And so our goal is to protect our safety records, our driver records, and to act quickly on that information that we've collected. So even though you may think, I can just go in and insert my request for data review at a later time, we just want to make sure first that we've met any deadlines that have been associated with the violation that's come down.
Bridget Blitch is with us from Taylor & Associates, attorneys at law down in Florida. And Bridget, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, we talk about roadside inspections a lot here on the program, especially during the big things like road check and brake safety week. And we usually talk about, you know, make sure your lights are all working, your brakes are adjusted, things like that. Make sure your belts are in good shape. But you have some best practice tips for preparing for a roadside inspection from your wheelhouse.
Yes, and this is coming from the perspective of being prepared to file an RDR if a violation does result from an inspection. And so I've had the pleasure to actually participate in doing a level one roadside inspection, and have worked with clients on challenging violations. So the key is getting the information, or we call the evidence, to support the challenge as to why the violation shouldn't have been issued, because the burden falls on the driver and the motor carrier to show that law enforcement was incorrect. So the opportunity to gather that information is going to start before the truck gets on the road, while the truck is on the road, and during the inspection. And so depending upon what the particular violation is, if it's a maintenance violation, for example, let's say an operative headlights, take a photograph of the headlights at the time of the inspection. I've been out in the middle of broad daylight in Florida, and it's hard to see, are those lights on or are they off? It's questionable. So it may be a judgment call on the part of law enforcement, and if you just had those lights replaced and you know they're working, take a photograph of it. And then you'll have your maintenance records to further show that, look, these lights were recently replaced, they were working at the time of the inspection. So when you submit your RDR, you'll have additional information to show, look, here was the lights at the time of the inspection. And if you can date stamp those photographs as well, that's going to be key, because what I get sometimes is from the state analyst, well, how do we know when this photograph was taken, if it was taken at the time of the inspection, or that the driver just didn't go and replace the bulbs really quickly right after the inspection. So having some indication of when the photograph was taken is key, because, again, the burden is going to fall on the motor carrier and the driver to show otherwise. Also, if there's an issue with, let's say, the securement of a fire extinguisher, take a photograph as it existed at the time the inspection occurred. If you have an opportunity to, this was an issue I encountered in my level one inspection where there was a hole in the brake drum, and the question was this a manufacturing design, or was this a design, or was this from wear and tear resulting in out of service order? So taking a photograph of the condition of the equipment as it existed at the time of the inspection. And so the key is to have the drivers really participate with the law enforcement officer at the inspection to understand what is the violations that's been identified. And what I've been informed is that as long as it's obviously safe for the driver and the public and the officer, that they encourage that involvement with the law enforcement, because the law enforcement wants to educate the driver as well. And so having photographs is one element. Having records of maintenance is another. If you have a situation, let's say, where you have a unauthorized passenger to ride program, having a policy showing that the driver acknowledged such unauthorized passenger to ride program and keeping up with your policies can be another way to show that the motor carrier did have a policy, the driver signed the policy. So we've dealt with that situation before, so having the right policies in place. And then getting as much information from the driver following the inspection is important as well, so that both the driver and the motor carrier can work together to be successful in the request for data review. And the even though there may not be a timeline to submit an RDR, my best practice is, well, let's get as much information that we can and get that information together and submit it to the state analyst as recently as we can after the inspection, so that we'll have the opportunity not only to request information from the officer if we need it, but also show the recency of here's the information just following the inspection and why the violation should be reversed. And if we encounter a situation where it goes back to the same officer that issued the violation, the other important aspect that I wanted to mention is that don't assume that that is the final resolution of the violation. In Florida, there are three tiers of review before that's considered basically a final determination. And other states have set up different mechanisms for review. And in the state analyst guide, they actually give scenarios for Minnesota, which has various level of review, and Arizona, which also has a review board. In Arizona, one industry professional is actually encompassed in part of that review board. So drivers, I think, have found to be successful before that committee that reviews the data queue review board. So that's a common issue that I come up upon with drivers or motor carriers that say, well, we haven't been successful in a data queue challenge. We submitted it and it was denied. So then we want to look at, well, what's the jurisdiction that the violation occurred in for which you're filing an RDR, and let's understand what the next level of review is, because it may be a matter of going to the next tier, getting before a different lieutenant or before a different committee that the state has established to review that data queue challenge. So just because it's finally been concluded by one person doesn't mean that that's a final determination.
Wow, that is a lot of great information in depth, and I really appreciate you going that far in depth here, because I know that this really can affect a driver's livelihood and future opportunities and things like that too. Looking forward to our February meeting. Bridget, thank you so much for being with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much.
And I want to thank the folks at Taylor and Associates Attorneys at Law as well for allowing you to appear with us on the program every month. And we'll look forward to our February edition. Bridget Blitch, everybody, from Taylor and Associates, Minding the Road.